With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With Microsoft 365 from Vodafone, your business can bring the team together wherever they are. See vodafone.ie/business.
I'm really delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair today, Tony Gibney. He's the Chairman of Gibney's and he's very welcome to the programme. How are you, Tony?
Great, thank you, Bobby. It's great to be here.
Now you're legendary in the pub trade, Tony. Bring us back to your family history. Yeah. You grew up over the pub and a hotel, I believe it was in Howth at the time.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your father, if you would.
Jack Gibney was only in his early 20s when his father bought the pub in Malahide. He'd been raised in Parkgate Street. Over the pub in Parkgate Street, Gibney's, James Gibney and Sons. And they later bought the hotel in Howth, the Abbey Davern in Howth. And then in 1937, they bought the Gibney's of Malahide.
Right.
So that's
and, what this and your and as was typical in those days, your interaction in the family business, there was very little difference between family life and business life. Everybody just did something to contribute and it was all very seamless. And what you were doing was probably no different to many others.
I think it was very, very similar for everybody in the trade. Most people lived over their premises. And I always compared it with living on the farm or my cousins who had farms and that kind of thing where they'd be working up early, they'd be milking cows. You'd equally be doing something, collecting bottles,
yeah.
Doing something.
And in those early days, you talk about bottling the Guinness. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was fantastic, really. You loved doing it because you were down with the older men who were only in their early 20s at that time, but they seemed old. And you become a snatcher, which is the first job you do when you're really six or seven. You just grab the bottles as they capped them or corked them at that time. Yeah. And you bottled stout and ale. And then I learned to actually bottle whiskey with my father.
Right. And you know, those traditions long since gone, do you miss them or do you reminisce?
They were a great part of the trade. But I remember when I took over in 72, that I turned that bottling shed into a video music bar and sports bar, which was kind of very unusual at the time. And did record a video music and became very fashionable with the young people, which pubs were a bit scared of at the time.
Yeah, yeah. And you've always been a great innovator. And I'm going to come back to that in a second. But before you got fully back into the business, and I think your parents maybe were unwell, and it was an act of necessity on your part. You did do some other stuff. You worked on the ships. Did you work on the was it with Irish Ferries that you worked?
Yeah, it was actually Leinster Ferry. It was more down the docks, Alexander Basin and Stack F, which is now the Financial Mile. Yeah. You know, right down there, they had their own police, and you were in charge of all the goods that were inwards and outwards, and doing the manifest. So it was working on dry land, but it was very enjoyable and very different.
And was this your? And they often say that, you know, when you're involved in a family business, to go off and do some other stuff is maybe not a bad idea. Did you come back with bookkeeping skills, with accountancy skills?
Yeah, I kind of always did a little bit of that. And my Uncle Brendan did most of the book work for the hotel and the pub. And I always enjoyed doing a little bit of work with him. And he was very good to me. And I probably I had that foundation in figures, both from the pub, standing on a box at the till, and we had a dartboard, which you learned how to count very quick on a dartboard.
And isn't it amazing when you look at numeracy skills today, because people are using their phones, the dart players are actually the most numerate people you can meet.
It's incredible. Yeah. A lot of people often said, these certain friends of mine, that they would not have been good in school. Yet if they were at a dartboard, adding, subtracting or multiplying or dividing, they were excellent.
Yeah.
And also a bookies next door. That helped people count as well.
So when you took over the pub then, and one of the great things about Gibney's and Malahide is that you seem to have this vision where you were able to create pubs within a pub. Yeah. And I just wanted to delve into that with you for a second. That you identified different customers and the different customer needs, and you were able to almost allocate a part of the pub to that customer base.
Yeah, and my father was a great help, even though, as I said, for that financial reason that he had to step back in 72, he was a great help, and he stayed involved, but more as an advisor, right, and a great help. But he asked me what kind of pub I was going to work and going to run. And I said, well, Daddy, you like that film, A Man for All Seasons, so I'm going to run a pub for all people. And he said, you can't do that. And especially people were a bit afraid or reticent about young people coming into bars and learning how to treat alcohol. So we opened an area for young people, an area for poor people, rich people, people on the dole, people back on horses, people, very wealthy people with yachts. It was a real mix and match.
Yeah, and it worked. And it worked through the decades.
We've been very, very lucky. You know, I always do it in 3 years, 5 years, and a 10-year decade. And you're only as good as your last meal. That's it.
I remember being told once that the most important thing in business is the person that your life partner, who your life partner is. Your own wife, Siobhan, is still very involved with you in the business, and always has been, I take it.
Yeah, Siobhan, from the time she came into the family, has been involved. She did her Leaving Cert at 16 and came down to Dublin and worked in the hotel industry. And always, her family had great work ethic, her mother, and Siobhan inherited that. But she looks after the off license, which is high-end wine and whiskies. And also, we now with the street being closed for people to have lunch and dinner out, she does a lot of work out on the street, serving that area, and she's a dynamo.
Yeah, and
and a diamond.
Am I right in saying that when you first met her father, that he said, though, this is, Siobhan's going out with a barman.
Yeah, it was meant to be a derogatory term. No offence to barman, because I consider myself one myself. And most of the Dublin publicans and that were barman. And they're great publicans. And they were great barmen. So I think it's something to be proud of.
Absolutely.
But he was just trying to put me down a little.
Tell us then about the involvement in London. I see you're partnered with Richard Corrigan. He's a bit of a character.
Yeah, Richard is fairly outgoing now. You wouldn't really think of the two of us in the same pot. The first night I met him was very interesting. I didn't really know much about him, but we were at a football match at Arsenal, and his father-in-law was with him. And after 4 hours drinking, he suggested I go home to his wife and that he cook up something, which I'd only realised then he was a chef, because everyone was asking for his autograph or a picture. So I said, you must think I'm mad if I'm going home to your wife with you drunk, your father-in-law drunk. She's only going to blame one person.
Sounds like a great dinner party.
As I said, she's a lovely lady, absolutely lovely lady, but that wasn't the day to meet her.
So bringing the pubs to London. There's two pubs in New York. So this is...
Yeah, we're very happy about that.
Yeah, so how does all that work and how do you manage all that? Or well, what's the vision there?
Really, I put my trust in the next generation. And with some great people. Lots of people in our family are in other businesses, you know, and that's great too. But the people that are in the business, there's around 10 of them in total in and around the business.
Yeah.
And I'm delighted for them because it's something they love. And we have some fine young people coming through. And one of them was our godson in New York. And it was ideal. And our son Cormac did 4 years in London. And then my nephew did also works in Malahide. He runs Malahide, Thomas, and he does a great job. And Lorcan helps him, my other son. So they're all at it, Christmas there.
No. So when you look at, say, the pub scene in New York, very different to the pub scene in Malahide.
Yeah, I think I went to New York just in my late teens. And at that time, you could actually serve in a pub at 18 and you could drink in a pub at 18.
Yeah.
And I'd certainly got a love for it and I always wanted to go back. And so after I took over the pub so early, it probably was always in the back of my mind. And with my niece and nephew living there now, and they were raised with us for a couple of years in early life, and they got a house then themselves with their mom, and they remain very, very close. So
that's great.
It's like extended family.
So the show goes on. The recent acquisition of Salamanca now. That must be exciting.
I must say I really like Salamanca. It's right down there off Dame Street near Trinity College, a lovely part of Dublin, and I think it's great potential. But it's a lovely place, and we've got a ready-made staff there. Great, very good management team. They're doing a good job.
So the show goes on, and your job now as chairman of all this is basically managing the family.
Yeah, it's just telling people what they should be doing.
Yeah.
Probably things I didn't do myself.
Yeah. Well, come here. You're a wonderful ambassador for the pub business. You're somebody who's worked hard and have been a tremendous innovator, Tony, which I think really, really is a credit to you.
Well, I put it down to our family in the sense we're steeped in this. We got a lot of help. And working with the other publicans in Dublin that for a better future, restaurants, hotels, anyone in the hospitality industry, there is a future and it's a good future.
Well, well said. And thank you for joining us today. Tony Gibney there, chairman of Gibney's in Malahide and many other pubs that you didn't know about.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS. That's KACHAVA.com, code FITNESS.